This is The Poll, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. This story is from our episode about loneliness. One major side effect of loneliness is often that it also leads to a lack of touch. And touch is crucial to us. It's a biological and emotional necessity, an intrinsic part of our evolution and well-being. Reporter Charlie Garcia tried out an unusual remedy to this lack of touch.
It's a Friday night in Berlin, and I'm on my way to a party. But this isn't just any old party. This one's a little different. I enter the apartment to see a group of people chatting and eating snacks. After some small talk, we all gather in the living room, where the floor is covered in blankets and pillows. Everyone is here for one reason, to cuddle. Yes, you heard me right. This is the Mush, M-U-S-H, and it's a cuddle party. Arriving to the Mush felt pretty ordinary. The facilitator welcomed me at the door and pointed me toward the kitchen, where I joined about a dozen others. It all felt surprisingly normal. Then we moved into the living room, and that's where the Mush began, with the facilitator laying out the boundaries.
Thank you so much for being here, for coming together. Just would like to flow a little bit about the Mush.
Having a cuddle session with strangers might seem like a crazy idea, but it actually speaks to a profound human need.
Touches, it's one of these senses that it's with us from birth right the way to the very end. It's one of the first that develops, one of the last that goes.
This is Michael Banasey, the head of psychological science at the University of Bristol in England and the author of When We Touch.
I study how we form and maintain social connections and how that impacts our health and our happiness and our well-being.
Michael was always fascinated with social interaction. As a self-described reserved Brit, he often found himself on the outside, observing, because he wanted to understand the complex dynamics that most of us just take for granted, especially what is actually happening in our brains and bodies when we give and receive touch.
Touch is really important across all walks of life in terms of physical health, relational health, and mental health.
His research found that touch regulates our bodies by releasing powerful hormones and neurotransmitters in our brains.
That actually will lead to activity in the brain, which will help with the release or a modulation of the parasympathetic nervous system. So this will see the release of things like oxytocin, which is a hormone involved in trust, calming, social bonding. Your brain is also likely to find it rewarding. So you might see a dopamine hit from things like that as well.
Oxytocin is one of the hormones responsible for feelings of trust, empathy, and connection. Dopamine gives us feelings of pleasure and reward, which can boost our motivation and our mood. But touch isn't only responsible for an increase in the beneficial hormones. It also decreases the anxiety-inducing ones.
There's quite a lot of work showing that if people hug before a stressful event, during a stressful event, you see a modulation of cortisol. So cortisol is a major stress hormone.
He even found that, paradoxically, touch is so good for our immune system that the more we touch, the less we get sick.
They've measured how often have people hugged over a period, so often over 14 days. They've then brought them into the lab, expose them to a virus, so given them the common cold, for instance, and they find that the people that hugged more for the 14 days before the study were less likely to develop the virus symptoms.
What are some of the consequences of people who are not getting enough touch?
Yeah, so poorer mental health, higher anxiety, higher depression. People typically report lower well-being, higher loneliness.
In early 2020, Michael teamed up with the BBC and the Wellcome Collection to create the largest single study ever conducted on touch. They surveyed almost 40,000 people in 112 different countries to understand their relationship with touch.
We were seeing around about 45% of people were saying they weren't getting enough touch in their lives. We also found that lack in touch in your lives was linked to negative outcomes like higher loneliness, lower well-being.
The study found that 72% of people had a positive attitude towards touch.
We launched it in on very early January 2020, obviously with no awareness that the world was about to completely change because of a pandemic that took over. And some people described it as like the worst time study ever.
Or the best.
Others said, hey, it's possibly one of the best.
Though the study began just as COVID was hitting, most of the results came in before the lockdowns started affecting people's lives. But as the pandemic unfolded, Michael found himself confronted with lack of touch in a much more personal way.
I'm a touch scientist, right? I've known for years the literature about the importance of touch, but it really probably wasn't until the pandemic hit that I was like, whoa, okay, I really do miss touch in my life, because all of a sudden I couldn't hug my family. I couldn't do all these things that I just took for granted. And once it was really gone, how much I was missing it and how much I was struggling with it.
As millions of people suddenly went without the touch they once took for granted, a new term emerged, touch hunger. And for some, it never fully went away.
I think before COVID, people tended to hug each other very often. During COVID and after COVID, everybody was, we used to hug, but are you still okay with that?
This is Marianne, a mother of three living in Berlin. She grew up with lots of touch in her life.
My mom was the one who always wanted to cuddle. She was very free with touching and hugging. I remember that very precious moments, vivid memories of my childhood were when my father touched me, like washing my hands. And this gave me such a profound feeling of comfort.
Marianne is married, but her husband isn't as physically affectionate as she is. And over time, she began to feel like something was missing.
I somehow felt hungry. I can't describe it in a better way, because I felt hungry for touch.
And then she heard about cuddle parties.
Yeah, the first impulse was, that sounds like heaven. I was very excited. And then, of course, the second impulse was, I can't do that.
Marianne was worried about how her husband would feel. But they talked, and he was okay with it.
So I took that as a go. I think it was just the heart over the head. Head had 1,000 cons, but my heart said, yes, I want to try that.
And it ended up being exactly what she needed.
It was amazing how nice it felt to be held, because in the family system, I'm the mother. I'm the one who comforts, who holds. I'm never the one being held.
After talking with Marianne, I decided I wanted to try a cuddle party for myself. And this is how I ended up at the Mush. First, Patty Martinkowitz, the facilitator, led us through a series of consent exercises. So
how can we show consent? How can we say yes? How can we say no? So first we would like to practice how to say no.
He taught us how to honor our own boundaries and those of others by practicing how to say no to unwanted touch.
And in that moment, I received the no from him. I wasn't saying, bro, like, come on, we know each other since years. Like, what are you doing? I just want to hug you. Like, come on, it's nothing big. No, I'm actually respecting that for some reason, it doesn't matter why, he expresses a no, and I respect the space he likes to have right now. And I stopped with my movement.
Here are the signals that you can send that indicate that you want to touch somebody. Here are the signals that you can send that indicate that you don't. The celebration of the no is a foundational concept.
This is David Ryan, who goes by Davi. He's a dance and movement teacher and the founder of Mush. He kept noticing that after his classes, a lot of the dancers would end up touching and cuddling, and he saw that there was a real need for safe spaces of physical connection. So he created the Mush to help fill that void. He says a lot of people find their way here after a breakup.
No more touch, no more care, no more intimacy, and a lot of people come to the Mush from that place. Their romantic partnership ended, they've been feeling really lonely, and then they heard from somebody about this place where everyone's acting really playful and childish and cuddling with each other.
As the evening went on and I spoke with the other guests, I heard many reasons why they wanted to come to the cuddle party.
I think probably the biggest thing is loneliness.
I work remote, so I'm solely communicating with my colleagues online. I just want non-romanticized cuddling.
One of the main reasons people mentioned, both men and women, was the desire for a clearly platonic space where they could give and receive affection through touch without it being mistaken for something sexual or having to question the intentions behind it. Here's Mush founder David Ryan again.
Our intention in the Mush is to explore intimacy, connection, but not sexuality. And that you have to agree before you even come into the room that you're not coming with sexual intention, that you understand what we're doing here. And that makes a big difference around how people feel in the space.
For me, the Mush was deeply nourishing. And while cuddle parties might not be for everyone, I do think that embracing a culture of touch positivity and learning to express our boundaries and needs could be one step towards a more connected, touch-friendly world.
That story was reported by Charlie Garcia.